again, I told you last week probably, and on our line of thought, we would probably be going into the altar of incense, but we're not. And I can't help it, it ain't my call. But I just, what it is, when the Lord just lays something on you, weighty, that's just the way you gotta go. So, speaking of which, I have to give the title of this one out, but I think by the time we're done, you'll understand. Of course, we won't be done today, but I'm going to call this the prophetic ministry. It's the very thing we were talking about. What is it? What is the prophetic ministry? And I want to bring this thing around in a little bit of a light. Different, because I've been to places before, probably you have. You're out there, I don't know your history, Ben, but at sometimes when you go to places, some preacher will call you up and he'll prophesy over you. Say thus and thus and all this other stuff. And most people's idea of prophecy is foretelling the future, right? Foretelling the future. And I want to look at it and say, is that what it is? Foretelling the future. Because I'm going to tell you, and I'm not saying that God can't give you foresight into something, but is that prophecy according to Scriptures? And I'm going to say it's not. And I'm going to show you. I'm not, you know, people may say this and that. You're going to have a baby, you're going to have this, but is that prophecy? According to Scriptures. What is prophecy? According to Scriptures. And I want to look at this one verse here in Ephesians. You guys know it. But I just want to look at it real quick. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? For the edifying of the body of Christ. How long does this go on? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So prophecy has the function of a prophet has, it is a ministry, and it has a function. What is that function? Well, the one thing that we always talk about is all things fulfilled in Christ. So what we're going to be looking at on this journey is Christ as our prophet. Because everybody knows Christ is King, right? King of kings, Lord of lords. Everybody knows Him as High Priest. How many sermons do you hear on Christ the prophet? Never. Is Christ a prophet? I'm going to tell you in this order, He is prophet before He is priest or king. He is first prophet. He's first prophet. And I was looking at something when I came up here. I meant to look, so I gotta look this scripture up. So, if I can find my phone, because I got a Bible on my phone, and I wanted to see if there was a verse in here. So, and the verse went like this: "It changed into the same image." Is there a verse like that? Is that 1 John? I don't. Yeah. Changed into the same image. I don't know. We'll have to look on that one. Our change, right there it is, 318. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, from the same image. That scripture was kind of laying on my mind, changed into the same image. Well, what does that mean, changed into the same image? Well, how do you see Christ? I mean, do we see him as prophet, see him as priest, see him as king? Does it mean you're going to be changed into a king? But and I have to be real careful with this, because the first thing that we'll do in Ephesians, when we look at those verses right there, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is we'll take them on ourselves and sign a person to them, and we'll say, well, Clyde, he's an apostle, and Ben, he's a pastor, and, you know, Tim, he's an evangelist. But these aren't assigned to people. These are the functions of Christ. This is what these are, the functions of Christ. They are all functions of Christ to bring us into that full stature, into the full measure. So it says we'll be changed into the same image. And I was thinking on this, meditating on this, changed into the same image. Well, if we are his body, right? I mean, we went over and over, and we got to work on that. But in order for the body to function as a king, the body has to see him in that image as a king. In order for the body to function as a priest, do we not need to see him as priest? Same goes here. If we're going to function as a prophet, we need to see him as prophet. Now I know he has fulfilled all prophecy, if you will. All things pointed to him. But what does a prophet do? Well, let me back up here just a little bit. I'm in John. Let me just give you a few verses here in John. John 1:21. And they ask him. Now he's talking about John the Baptist here. They ask John the Baptist. They ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? Or in other words, are you Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Now they just ask him, are you Elijah? He said, no. Then they ask him another question. Are you that prophet? What prophet is he talking about? What are they referring to here when they said, are you that prophet? Now look at John's answer. He said, no. What is he referring to? Well, let's just go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18 and 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, likened unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest. There's a word that goes back to Sunday. Of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day, in the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren likened to thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Remember the Lord said, these words that I speak, they're not my words. We're talking the prophet. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. You can go on and look, but we're going to go back. Are you that prophet? John the Baptist says, no, I'm not that prophet. I'm not that prophet. Let me go back over here to Deuteronomy just a second. I should have left my bag there. Well, he's going on to talk about this prophet. Now, let me give you something else here in Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken afterwards. Moses, the prophet. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice. What voice are we talking about? We're talking about the voice of the prophet. You see what I'm talking about here? The voice of the prophet. Now, let me go get you something here in Acts. I'm just throwing some verses at you here. In Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with their fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Who's he talking about? A prophet. Now, let me give you some more here. I'm going to be over in Matthew. Matthew 13:57. Here's what Jesus said. And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Remember, we just read in Hebrews, whose house we are. Now, let me give you another one here. In Matthew 21:9. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I've read this verse 1,000 times, but I've never seen, this is Jesus the prophet. I mean, they didn't jump up and say, this is Jesus the king. They said, this is Jesus the prophet. Jesus the prophet. Now, let me give you another one here. In Luke 24, you know this, on the road to Emmaus. Here he is, and he said unto them, but they didn't know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Jesus the prophet. Now, this will give us some insight to the work of the prophet, look at verse 30, because here's these disciples' testimony. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were open and they knew him. Now we get to see the function of a prophet. The function of a prophet. Now, let me go back over here. I'm going to have to leave something over here in Deuteronomy. In verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you listen. Remember what God said on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. He's talking about the voice of the prophet. I'd never seen. When I got studying on this stuff this week, I thought, my God. Nobody ever talks about Jesus the prophet. Nobody ever talks about Jesus the prophet. But they knew. John knew that he was not that prophet. John says, I come to baptize you with water. But he shall come and he shall baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Now Moses says, him shall ye hearken to. Him shall ye listen to. Now, let me go back to Hebrews and look at this. If you want to hear the voice of God, how are you going to do that? Through the voice of the prophet. Now, who's the voice of the prophet? Jesus. God, who at sundry times in a diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. They would say, thus saith the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. But he has in these last days spoken unto us. Now that word by should be translated in. Has spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. How did he do that? How did he make the worlds? My God, this goes right back to the very beginning. And let's just see what the very beginning was. And Clyde's going to the wrong book.
Yeah, I'm going to Revelation.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What are we talking about? That voice that was in the beginning, that voice that is the Word of God, that voice is in you, that voice is the prophet, that voice is Christ in you. Christ in you, the prophet. By his words, that's how he creates in you. Do you see? I'm going to tell you what. For those that have never heard his voice, I mean, I go back to Romans and I say, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except to be sent? You know, so we're thinking, oh man, I'm a preacher, I must be sent of God. But we got to take that a little bit deeper right there, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what. The only sermon you ever need to hear is to hear his voice. And you're going to hear that inside of you. You're going to hear that inside of you. Now, let me show you something here. How can he preach except to be sent, right? Do we not jump at that scripture? I know I have my whole life and jumped at that scripture and think, well, I'm a preacher, I must be sent. See, we again apply to ourselves. Well, I hope Patty will get to watch this thing because I'm going to tell you that. Let me give you a verse here. Let me go on over to John again and give you a verse. And I'll maybe jump it around a little bit. I'm trying to establish something so we can go on here. John 5:27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. Guys, what Bible, what book in the Bible is full of that term, Son of Man? Ezekiel. What is it? Who is Ezekiel? He's a prophet. So, can I throw this out at you? That the title given a prophet is the Son of Man. Son of Man, the prophet. Son of Man. Now, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Now remember, authority was given to him to execute judgment. Why? Because he was the Son of Man. Now where is judgment executed from? You know, just in the natural court, we say approach the bench. Really, we're saying approach the throne. Look at Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament that was over the heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Now, let's go to chapter 2 in Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me, when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now, where is the Spirit at right here? The Spirit is in him. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Is Ezekiel not a type and shadow of Christ? Now, who is he sending to the children of Israel? To a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Who's the only perfect sent one of God? Christ. Right here is called the Son of Man. I'm sending you. I'm sending you as the prophet. The one that Moses spoke about. Something they knew something was going on because things were changing. They asked John the Baptist, this ain't normally the way we do things. Are you that prophet? Are you the prophet Elijah? If you're not, are you that prophet? This one, they knew Ezekiel. They knew Deuteronomy. Are you that prophet? For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall ye know them that there hath been a prophet among them. Did they not declare that themselves? Hosanna, Hosanna. Who is this? Jesus the prophet. And thou, Son of Man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, Son of Man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Of course, he goes on to talk about the role, but I want you to see Ezekiel here was a type and shadow of the prophet being sent to a rebellious house. Same thing, Jesus. How do I know? Again, John, first chapter. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Received him not what? Received not the prophet. received not the prophet. Now, I'm going to give you a verse. See, I'm jumping way ahead, but I got to give you this verse because we're going to stay on this verse a long time. Acts 13, 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. Remember what Jesus said? Well, they said, hey, what about these? They're casting out devils and doing all this stuff. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. You know what? Every Sunday or Saturday, they would show up, and they didn't have church like we have church. This was an all-day thing. They read the prophets about the coming Messiah, about the coming prophet, about the coming king. And they said every Sabbath he was read about. And you wouldn't hear. You asked John the Baptist down there, are you him? Did you ever ask Jesus, are you him? They asked Jesus, are you him? And he said, I am. They said, oh, crucify him, he blasphemes. Right? Every Sabbath they read Jonah. They read Isaiah. They read Ezekiel, Jeremiah. They were excited about the one. And finally, are you him? I am. What happened? No, you're not. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. Now, look at this other verse in John. John 5:27. Let me just go back to 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Now, they've been reading these things every Sabbath. And they are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know that ye have not the love of God in you. You know what he just said right there? The love of God is Christ. He says, I know that Christ is not in you. How could he say that with all authority? Because he's standing there. He hadn't went to the cross yet. He wasn't even in Peter yet. None of them had the Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe which receive honor of one and another, one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, what's he talking about? All the way back in Deuteronomy. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not this writing, how shall ye believe my words? Are you that prophet?
He's telling them where he's the Messiah.
He's telling them right there, I'm that prophet. I'm him. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me, but you didn't really believe Moses. Because he spoke of me. That prophet. What is that prophecy? Now, let me give you a verse here that is hardly ever quoted. Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy. Now what do we have? Let me give you another verse. And I'm just throwing a bunch of verses out there. I'm trying to bring this around. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. How could you have a more sure word of prophecy? Because the prophet lives in you. Who was it that revealed the I am that I am to Israel? It was Moses the prophet, right? Moses the prophet. You know, Abraham was a prophet. Did y'all know Abraham was a prophet? Chapter verse, verse 20. Genesis 20, verse 7. Remember Abraham meets Abimelech, lies to her, says, Sarah's my sister. Look at verse 6. He has that dream. Verse 6, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thine heart, for I have withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Nobody ever knows Abraham was a prophet. Enoch prophesied, saying, he shall come with ten thousands, right? But there's a prophecy, or there's a prophet that was before them. A prophecy or a prophet that was all the way back in the beginning. And we just read about that. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the prophet. And the words this prophet speaks caused the worlds to be created. You see what I'm talking about? Him you shall hearken unto. So now I go back and I look at Romans. How can he preach except he be sent? Who is the sent one of God? Christ. Christ. So now I want to break this down a little bit. See, I haven't even turned any pages yet. Prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry. It's more than just telling the future. Telling somebody's shoe size or address or whatever. Really got nothing to do with anything. We just read the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's an interpretation of everything from a spiritual standpoint, bringing of the spiritual implications before the people of God. Now, keep these things in mind when I'm saying. Samuel was a prophet, but Samuel was also a judge and a priest. Moses was a prophet. Paul, I believe, was a prophet and an apostle and an evangelist and a pastor. He was probably all of them. But we got to understand that the prophet has been fulfilled in Christ. But this whole thing of this prophetic ministry, what I'm going to be looking at, it's fulfilled in Christ. You remember when we come up here and we said testimony, and then we got fulfilled in Christ. Then you remember what's next? Expression. You got testimony, fulfilled in Christ, expression. This is where we come in because we are the church, we're the body, and the body is for the expression. Right? So, there's a prophetic ministry, which we know that ministry is fulfilled in Christ, but now it has to be expressed in the vessel, which we are. Remember, Jesus as a son is faithful over his house and of who we are. I mean, how many times, and you guys would know more than what me and Dad would know because of your background, how many prophets have been in your midst and started prophesying over things, telling you all kinds of stuff? That was never a testimony of Jesus Christ. It was, thus and thus, and thou shalt be great, and thou shalt lead millions to the Lord, and thou shalt, you know, all these things that you're going to do. And we call them a modern day prophets. But is it the testimony of Jesus Christ? Is it the testimony? Does it bring in the thought of God? Now, who would know the thought of God other than the Holy Spirit? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the Christ. So, true prophecy is going to be the testimony of Jesus Christ. But then there has to be a vessel prepared to deliver that. And that's the reason I wanted to look up that verse. We're changed into the same image. What image do we see him at? Now, I mean, Christ is revealed. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ in you. And I just think... There's a lot of people that have this impression of Jesus. And of course, Jesus was there as the Lamb of God. But they have this impression of Jesus as a little meek guy. In my mind, he got bullied around in school and picked on and got flipped in the back of the head. You know what I mean? Just a little willy-nilly, his head down and all this other stuff.
Humble.
Little humble and all this other stuff. They don't picture him with a whip in his hand clearing out the temple. Or they don't picture him standing there and saying, "You generations of viper, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Or, you know. They don't picture him there when they got him all hemmed up and they said, "This woman here has committed adultery. According to this law of Moses, she should be stoned to death. What are you going to do, big guy?" Now, these weren't just any Joes standing there. These were the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the to-do guys of that time. This was the Benny Hinn's and all them. You know, the John Hagee's. These were all the big guys and the big T.D. Jakes standing there. What are you going to do now? What happened? He wasn't cowered down. They all left, from the eldest to the least. What I say, because I was thinking about this over and over, and I think about this all the time, why do we have so many different churches? So many different denominations. Why is that? So many different belief systems. Why is that? Why is the people in this congregation, and I know everybody wants to give a limit or give the thing of their church. I've heard this before. Boy, when you come in our church, you know, boy, you'll just feel loved and you'll feel all that. You may the first few times, but after you get to know the people and your views are different than theirs, what happens? We don't really care if you come back. You ain't nothing but a troublemaker. We've been doing this for 42 years, Ben, and now you want to come in and rock the boat. I always think, why is it that we got so many different around? You know, the man's way seem right in his own eyes. Ain't a one of them out there thinking we're wrong. Everybody thinks they're right. Don't we need the true voice of prophecy today? And would the people hear? And you know, I'm thinking at first, before I can be a voice of prophecy, or if you even want to say that, I got to hear something inside of me, or I got not a word to say. Because in prophets of old, they didn't come and say, they would say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." The word of the Lord came into me saying. So I'm just telling you what the word of the Lord came into me saying. And then there would be so-called the office of a prophet. Nowadays, somebody may have a prophecy or whatever, a testimony of the Lord, and they give it out, and then there's no interpretation. Remember, we talked about that on Sunday. There's no interpreter of this dream. There's no interpretation of this prophecy. I mean, what are we going to do? Because, you see, the interpreter is down inside of us also. His name is Christ. Yeah, if you don't understand, if you don't hear the voice, you got nothing to say. And so many want to jump around and guess and jump onto things and think they have the word of the Lord. It's nothing but trouble. That's all it is. It's nothing but trouble. Why do you think we have so many different? Israel was one nation. One nation. But when Solomon got greedy, see, we don't think about these things with Solomon. But you know what Solomon did? He started raising up them idols because he married some Egyptian wives. Started raising up them idols. Then you know what he said? We need to increase the offering, guys. Y'all need to start giving a whole lot more money because I'm going to build them some houses too. So he increased the burden on people. Then when he died, there was controversy who was going to take over and what happened. Jeroboam and Rehoboam split the nation of Israel. 10 went north, 2 stayed south. He said, and you know, the Lord had says, you will come up to Jerusalem 3 times a year, and the times that I tell you, and all men will come up there, and if you don't, you'll be cut off. But they said, man, that journey's too far, so we'll set up these calves up here at Dan, and Clyde, you don't have to make that long trip. You can just come here, and it'll be all hunky-dory. Let's just compromise, and well, let's all get along. I want you to think about something. See, God does things to the detail. He does not compromise. Could you imagine? He says, okay, Moses, you know, I called you up to the mountain. I'm going to show you the pattern. I want you to go make me a tabernacle. I don't really care how you make it. I don't care what you make it with. Just make me something, you know, that I can meet out. He gave him detailed instructions of even what kind of thread to use, what color thread to use, exactly how many cubics it was supposed to be, or how it was supposed to be, where to put the silver sockets, how to hang it up, how to make the curtain loops, how to make the snuff dishes and the censers, every detail. And he said, see to it, Moses, that you make it according to the pattern. Well, this is a divine law that he keeps all the way through Scripture. It's still a divine law that he works in us. Now, anytime we deviate, I was thinking about this thing the other day. I remember I used to get told of this a lot. Maybe you guys have heard this. It may even be a scripture, I don't know, but I just thought, man, this is a full statement. So people used to say, now, Brother Jimmy, better slow down. Y'all believe you're about to get ahead of the Lord. Y'all ever heard that?
Uh-huh.
Let's don't get ahead of the Lord. And I got to thinking, how can I get ahead of the Lord? How can I get behind? I mean, my thought was this. Let's say the Lord is leading, and he does things in a divine way, and he don't deviate. Am I going to get out in front of him? No. I may deviate and go left. I may go right. I may go backwards. But I ain't going to get out in front of him. I can't. I just thought sometimes our words are dumb, what we say. I understand maybe what they mean, but is it a true statement? Because I understand. Right now, how do you describe to somebody about your Wednesday night service? How do you describe to somebody about your Sunday service? Here's the way we do it. Where you go to church. I mean, that's just common talk, and everybody knows what you mean. Where do you go to church? Where do you go? I'm talking about in this time, we need the voice that interprets the mind of God to the people. What is the mind of God? What is the thought of God? What is the intention of God? His Son, we read it in Ephesians, that we all might come to the full measure, the stature of His Son. That none come up short. Do you know, naturally speaking, most people have to be careful how I say this. Most people, I guess just bluntly is the only way to do it. Most people are standoffish concerning midgets. Dwarfs, right? Well, I mean, most people are. Children, I mean, they just know something is not natural there. How many today are dwarfs, spiritually speaking, that have never grown up, have just... And I think, why is that? Why is that? Because they didn't hearken unto the voice of the prophet. They would not hearken to his voice. They would not listen. How many times in our lives have we not listened to the voice of the prophet that speaks right in our heart? Do this. Don't do that. Say this. Don't say that. It's time to pray, class. Time to read. It's time to go to bed. It's time to get up. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in every detail if we would listen. But we don't listen. We want to be king. We don't hearken to the voice that speaks in us. What is the function of a prophetic ministry? It's to hold things to the full thought of God. Think about that. Holds things to the full thought of God. Does God want little babies running around? Does God want dwarfs spiritually running around? Does God want blind, deaf people running around? And just think about the prophets in the day. And you'll see the prophets arose as a reaction from God to the course of things amongst his people. It was a call back. Right? Yeah, I mean, always it was a call back. Something wasn't going right. And think about this. The prophets had to stand in the stream while everything rushed by them and broke against them. Have you ever seen that? Like a flood, and the tree stands there, and everything, there's the prophet standing there. Everything's flooding this way, but the prophet is standing there in the midst of all that. See, you know, we talked about this last Wednesday about us being cowards, spiritually speaking, a whole lot. I don't know, I've backed off, you know. Like I said, sometimes I wish I'd have said this. But then at the same time, you're thinking, I don't remember his mouth. He said, I will bring you before great men. And you know what? You're not going to know what to say. But the Holy Ghost will give it to you at the selfsame hour. Yes. I thought, my God, but we'll cower back waiting and thinking, man, if they would just ask me this verse, I got this one, but this one I don't know. The prophet of God lives in you and he knows all things. The prophet. The prophet got right to the heart of matters. And he always relates to the full and the ultimate purpose of God in and through his people. Now listen to this. Now if that statement is true, what I just said, that the prophet always speaks to the full and ultimate purpose of God in and through his people, then here we got a bunch of people and they're confusing the means and the methods and enthusiasm and zeal. And they don't recognize that God's purpose must be reached in God's way and in God's means, not just anyhow. He's going to do it his way. And what happens is when you get something heavenly put in put into the mind of a carnal man, it doesn't raise him up. He brings that down and tramples it under feet. That's why we have so many different denominations and doctrines and theologies and statements of faith, and we have all this other stuff. Now the word may have been true, but the interpretation was a mess. How many times have you read a verse and you went back over that verse and God opened it up to you? And you think, wow, never knew that was there. But then you can go back and God opened it up again and you think, wow, I really didn't know that was there. And then you go back again and you think, holy moly moly, I had no idea that was there. But if you stop, as we talked about earlier, in that one interpretation, which may have been given as a child, and you think this is it, long gone has it been, and you're stuck right there, never moving on to the fullness, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And the only way that we can do that is to be obedient unto the Holy Ghost.
How do you do that?
Listen, and I know it's tough because here's the thing you're thinking, is this of God or is this not of God? And let me tell you something, I wondered that very thing. Being I wondered it, I beat myself up over it. Should I do this? Is this God speaking or not? Well, let me tell you something. He says, my sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow. The other is you. The other that will not, that's you. And how do the sheep get to know his voice? Let me tell you something right now. I can go home. I can be laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Dad can call me. I don't have to look at the phone and caller ID. When he says, hello, I know it's him. How? Because I spend time. Because it's a relationship. Right? How does a sheep get to know his voice? Through a relationship. Through spending time. And I'm going to tell you what, Ben. I thought I'd heard the voice of the Lord before. But when I really did, there was no different. There was never a doubt again in my mind. Was that the Lord or was that not the Lord? Really. And you guys know what I'm talking about. That you've heard the voice of the prophet. My God. Because when he speaks, things happen. His voice creates and destroys. Makes peace, creates evil. It does. His voice brings a division right down in your heart. When he speaks, I'm telling you. Like, remember that time I told you, you know, the Lord would just speak. I was never angry. And you're dumbfounded. You don't even know what to do with it. The Lord spoke to me in St. Paul. You've preached law long enough. You know, and I'm thinking, whoo, you know. I'm devastated and excited all at the same time. Because you heard the word of the Lord. He spoke, not audibly, but down in your heart. And I'll tell you what, you'll see that in here. And I'm going to tell you what. See, a lot of times, Ben, we don't know how to pray, but you know, now let's read the scripture. Lord, let me hear from you. Let's start reading out loud. And I'm telling you what, you won't go very long.
Right.
And
here.
He will wipe you out.
I don't know
if
this will help you or not. I'm jumping way ahead. I'm in Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Everybody knows it's Day of Pentecost. What are we talking about right
now,
here?
Now, see, it didn't say that sound filled them. The sound filled the house.
Yeah. Now listen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. What's the first thing the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost comes in, fills the house, sets on every one of them. Right? Why is he doing that? He's gathering the body together. The first thing he does is come in and take charge. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the first thing he does is take charge of the house, which you are. He comes into the house. He sets up on the house and says, guess what, guys? The king is here. Because the Holy Ghost, that's Christ, that's God. That's God in spirit. That's the prophet. He sets up and says, I'm in charge. And after he gathers, then
you have to be in a union to get in a union. kind of thing.
That's what we are. That's the reason we can't.
It's all one big union.
Yeah.
That's the reason we can't. I can't go home and say, well, nobody believes like me, heck with it, I'm just going to the house. This is the body gathering together. That's the reason I don't think people understand how important it is for us to gather out. Because Christ, this is a hard thing to say, he said where two or three are gathered together. If I go home, I'm by myself. Do you see what I mean? He wants his body gathered together, and he said, there I will appear in the midst. So, and it's not gathering out, let's just get a whole bunch of people out together. We gather out for one purpose, for his appearing. No other reason. That's why we gather. See, that's why it's been lost with all these other denominations and everything else, because their gathering is not unto the Lord. Their gathering is for this reason or that reason or 47,100 other reasons. When we gather here, it ain't so I can preach. It ain't so we can sing songs. It's for the appearing of the Lord. Huh?
It's about the fruit. It doesn't matter how many fruits as long as it's the right fruit.
Yeah.
The right fruits.
Yeah. It's all about him and his appearing. I mean, we may gather out and see, that's why, like this word that just kind of, this prophetic ministry. I mean, I had no idea about this. I was going to have been studying the altar of incense, you know, but the Lord put this word on me and weighted me down with it. So it's almost like I want you to go tell them this. For whatever reason, I don't have no idea. This ain't a subject I would have picked. You know, I've done picked the altar of incense. I've been planning on it for 2 months, and now I've just thrown that one on the back burner. But I've learned to yield. And that's a learning process that you have to go through. You learn to yield. In those very minutest details. Like I said, make it according to the pattern. The very minutest. And that's why up here at this place, you know, Sunday we ended our service a little bit different. Like I told Patty, I said, you know, we haven't been this way before. We didn't know how to begin a service. Remember, me and you talked about that a long time. I think we're where the Lord wants us in the beginning. And I told Patty, I said, now we don't know how to end. I just sit down. Do I stand up? Do I go over here? But see, he wants every detail according to the pattern. And here's the thing that we have to be able to do. This Sunday, he may want us to go this way. This Sunday, he may want us to do this. That's where we have to be open, because if we say, well, generally what we do is sing three songs and pray and preach, and then we sing a song and go home. He might say, well, I don't want you to do that this way. I don't even want you to say a word.
Right.
You know?
In a tradition.
Yeah.
Right. Because what happens is we get a hold of it, we crystallize it, lock it in, boom. Mm-hmm. Then anybody that don't do it my way, you can go somewhere else. We're locked in. Mm-hmm. That is the ground that I hope we don't approach to. That's the ground that always puts fear in me, because we have to be open to the voice of that Holy Spirit coming in, sitting on our shoulders, taking charge, and then everybody else can say, what is this? What did he say? This is that. This is that. What? That the prophet spoke of. This is that. That the prophet spoke of. And so if not for that Holy Ghost coming in, doing that, taking charge, but see, he's got to be allowed to do that, because many did not receive him. Many won't let the Holy Ghost come in and take charge. They want to do it their way. I know some that are that way, hard-headed, stiff-necked. Remember we read, you're hard-headed, stiff-necked, and he said, Ezekiel, son of man, don't let them scare you. Moses' first thought was, I am the deliverer of Egypt. I will do it. What's he do? He goes out and kills the Egyptian. He walks around, you know. Next day, who made you ruler over us? You going to kill us too? Coward, like a baby. Run away into the desert. 40 years he spent out there in that desert. And you know what? I just want to throw this out at you. Here he is on the backside of the desert. But think of his attitude. What's the next thing that Moses faced after he left? He knew Pharaoh was after him. He comes to a well. He sees trouble at a well. What did Moses do? Moses said, heck with y'all, man. I've been rejected. God don't want me. I don't want him. Y'all on your own. Something was down inside of him that he just couldn't let it pass. He had to go down there and help them at that well. God knew his heart. And at the end of his journey, he sees a burning bush. He says, let us go up and see this bush that's burning, that is not consumed. Let me just give you a little secret. It's a parable. The bush was Moses. He says, Moses, you're just a common bush. You're just a common earth growing, rooted in the dust, no good for nothing bush. But because of this fire, you see the difference? Because of this fire, because of this divine energy, you will have the strength to bear about this people that I'm sending you back for. Because what did Moses do with his own strength? He fled. But he went back as the same little bush. Now remember Moses, who was educated in all the ways of Egypt? Educated, well-spoken, well-dressed. What was his testimony after that? Lord, I'm a slow speech. I'm a stammering tongue. Why, what do you want, you know, who shall I say sent me? And you know, here comes Moses, and you know, I've seen the movies, and we think Moses must have been the great lawgiver. Thou shalt not steal. Those that thou steal, we're going to cut your arms off. Does the scripture not say he was the meekest of all men? Does not compassion flow into that word? Now here's the lawgiver of God. We've seen Charlton Heston breaking his stuff. But he was the meekest of all men. The man that would just flat out pray for all the people of Israel. God, please don't smite them. Please take my name out of the book. Don't hurt them. How? Because of the power of that burning bush. Because he's seen himself as that worthless bush consumed with God. So that made all the difference in the world. Now he comes back walking in not his own strength, but the strength of God. Makes all the difference in the world. You see what God did with that vessel. He prepared that vessel. Moses was a prophet. But Moses, what he said and the way he lived was not two different things. They had become one. And that's where we're going to be kind of on our journey. That the ministry and the minister have to become one. They do. They have to become one. And God uses these things to make it. Because when you see, I mean, that's what Moses did. He saw and he was devastated. Then he comes back in a whole different frame of mind. Whole different person. Meekest of all men. He never said that when he was down there in Egypt. No, he was killing people. Same thing happened to Paul. Saul of Tarsus.